We got a new Cool Mac Picks with Sam Levin and a brand new feature from John Nemirovsky called All Over the Mac. My Mac Podcast 175.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast.
Hey everyone, Tim Robertson. I'm the publisher and owner of MyMac.com. This is kind of a strange show for me this week. Something really kind of odd happened. Number one, I lost the G5, which is what we usually record the podcasts on. It just died. I don't think it's a software problem. I think that the power supply in that machine just... it bit the ghost. You know, that happens sometimes. And so we recorded the entire show, or at least tried to, on my MacBook Pro in the podcast studio. And major problems with this machine, too. It's I don't know if it's a bad USB cable that's going from the Alesis mixer to the MacBook Pro, or I don't know. It's just really weird. And it's just not working out tonight for us. So... I'm kind of doing the podcast solo because, like the other problems, we were having huge network problems, and none of my co-hosts could join me tonight, except right when we started recording the show earlier today, we had Sam Levin on for Cool Mac Picks, and Guy Searle and myself were actually able to talk to Sam for a little bit of time before the network got so bad that I couldn't talk to anybody. So we do have a Cool Mac Picks coming up. Also on the show, we've got a brand new segment from John Nemirovsky. I should say it's not necessarily a brand new segment. It's more of a retooling of his current segment. This is going to be called All Over the Mac. His first episode is going to feature Sheila Bender. So we'll listen to that here in a little bit too. And some good news. We have a sponsor this week, and we'll have a sponsor next week as well. This week's sponsor is Audible. Audible sponsoring our podcast. We encourage everyone to go up to audiblepodcast.com/mymac. audiblepodcast.com/mymac. You know, you can sign up for a free account. You do have to use a credit card. Don't let that worry you, though. They're not going to charge you anything unless you actually go beyond your free trial membership. If you sign up for a free trial membership, you'll also get a free book. One of the ones that I would suggest, you know, being Mac users like us, they have Icon. It's a really, really good book. I've actually read it. I kind of wish I would have just listened to it. It would have probably gone a lot faster, and I would have got through it a lot quicker than I did. It's from Jeffrey Young and William Simon, and it's called Icon Steve Jobs, The Greatest Second Act in the History of Business. That's kind of a wow. The greatest second act in the history of business. That's a tall claim. So it's definitely worth listening to and finding out if you agree. I got to say, I do agree. I mean, if you look at everything that Steve Jobs went through, starting Apple Computer with Steve Wozniak, the release of the Apple II, the introduction of the Macintosh, Steve actually getting kicked out of the company he helped found, starting his own second company, Next Computer, while he was doing that, buying Pixar from George Lucas, taking Pixar to greater heights than George Lucas ever would have imagined it going, selling that company to Disney, selling Next back to Apple. We all know what he's done at Apple. I mean, it's just amazing. He's the largest shareholder in Disney. Steve Jobs is an icon in the business world. So when they use that term, the greatest second act in the history of business, could be. I'm not going to argue with that at all. But you can check out this book for free up at audiblepodcast.com/mymac. We'll have a link on show 175. Really hope that at least some of you go out and check it out. We want to show our sponsors that the people listening to our show are actually going to... sign up for this stuff so they'll keep advertising. So I'd really appreciate it if you guys can go up and sign up. And so would the rest of the staff. And so would the people who I send the bill or the checks to for the bills that, you know, this podcast and MyMac.com is not easy and cheap to run, and we have to bring in some revenue somehow. So, hey, help us out. Speaking of helping us out, if you want to contribute to MyMac.com, if you go up to the main site, MyMac.com, right underneath the logo on the main side, on the main page, on the left-hand side, there's a button that says Donate. If you want to donate to the MyMac.com podcast, please do so there. It's a PayPal account. $5 would be cool. $5,000 would be cooler. But, you know, whatever you could contribute, that would be really, really cool. Like I said, I'm the only one doing the podcast right now, but we do have some other stuff to play. But first I want to talk about a little bit what's going up at MyMac.com. Right underneath this podcast is a video review from Julia Roy. She's brand new at MyMac.com. She's simply fantastic. And she's looking at a Sina case for the iPhone. Check out that video review. It's not very long. There is an embedded YouTube video there, but you can also watch a much better QuickTime version. It's also linked on that page. Really good review. Julia is going to be doing a lot more reviews for us in the future. Her name is Julia Roy. Check her out. I've got two reviews of my own posted. The Harman Kardon Dry Plus Play. It's probably the most elegant solution I know of personally to listen to your iPod in your car. It also works with the iPhone. I use it with my iPhone all the time. Nice color screen, wireless control knob, media hub. Works with Sirius Satellite if you've got that. You can even put music on a MP3 format on a like a little memory stick, USB memory stick. And it would play it off that. It's awesome. I did also a review of the Mia Reading, the Boogaloo Bugs. Yeah, read the review. You'll see what I thought of that game. It wasn't a game for me. It's for the young ones, and my daughter liked it. So if you've got young kids, this might be a product that you'd be interested in. Or maybe not. Rich Lefko did a review of Take Control, the Mac OS X Lexicon book. That's an e-book from our buddies over at Tidbits. And David Weeks did a review of Take Control of Easy Backups in Leopard. So it's like a Take Control week at MyMac.com. And, of course, John Nemirovsky did a Futura laptop desk and laptop computer stand review. On the blog side, Larry Grinnell wrote Why I Hate the Mac. Actually, Larry doesn't hate the Mac, but it's a video up at thestreet.com of a guy saying why he hates the Mac, and he gets almost every single point wrong. Not Larry, the person that was interviewed by The Street. And John Farr is having some problems with Safari, so if you've got some solutions for him, check out his blog, What the Heck is Wrong with Safari, up at mymac.com. Maybe you've got a solution to his problem, because, hey, he's got a major problem, and you might be the person to help him. Let's jump over to what we recorded earlier with Sam Levin, a cool Mac picks. He's got three of them. As every other week, go up to mymac.com. Show 175 this week, of course, and you'll find all the links to all the programs that Sam, I'm sorry, all the products that Sam's talking about this week. So here's cool Mac picks for the week. And we're going to get the show kicked off with Sam Levin, Sam Levin's cool Mac picks. Hi, Sam.
Hey, guys.
How are you this fine evening?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's actually afternoon here.
Afternoon. Well, it's evening here, and it's evening for Guy Searle in Virginia. Hi, Guy.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Wow, I'm doing great. Sam sounds like he's doing great. Are you doing great?
I'm doing okay, at least till my wife shows up all mad at me.
Uh-oh. Yeah, you're supposed to be cleaning.
Yeah, it could happen at any time.
Yeah. So we're going to kick off the show with a cool Mac picks. Oh, yeah. Sam, what do you got for us this week?
Well, you know, I've been testing out a very cool portable drive, and anyone knows that are traveling or, you know, you just have to store your data nowadays and back up. And particularly with Leopard, they have a beautiful feature called Time Machine, and it's just got a beautiful way to back up. So what do you need? You need an external drive. iOmega has come out with a line of portable drives called the Ego, just like it's spelled, E-G-O. And the one I've been using is a FireWire USB 2.0 combo drive. It's 250 gigabytes. It's self-powered. Of course, we all Mac people know FireWire since the beginning. And It's a really nice drive. It's portable. It fits in the palm of your hand. I like it because it works, and it's also combination USB 2 as well as FireWire. And I think it's important to understand the value of that because some, you know, PCs are USB 2. So if you want to bring your drive over to someone else's home and they don't have FireWire,
you gotta have the USB.
You gotta have USB, so it works on both, and you don't have to have AC to power it if you're on FireWire mode, which is great for Mac people. So you can plug this into your Mac, use it on the go, or you can use it as your Time Machine backup drive. It's not that expensive. It's $189. It comes.
That's pretty cheap.
Yeah, it's not. It's look. You can buy cheap drives, but iOmega's been around for a long time. So they're well known. They're trusted.
Here's a bit of trivia for you, Sam. Yep. iOmega made one of the very first FireWire connections for the Mac with their USB and FireWire zip drive. They were so far ahead of the curb using USB and FireWire. It's amazing.
Yeah, I know. And I still have those drives. I still have, you know, the early zip drives. But now they're known for making other types of portable drives. I like it. It's available in multiple colors. I have a red one. And I'm just going to carry it around for the next week and attach it to different machines and see how it goes. I've got a bunch of different video, music, data files on it. So check it out at iomega.com. Next up is a very cool product from a company called Aliph. A-L-I-P-H, and they make a headset called the Jawbone. I think we've touched on it before. The Jawbone Bluetooth headset works with the iPhone. It works with Mac, works with PC. You can use iChat, Skype, any of those, as well as, of course, the iPhone. And they've done a great job with the design. It's got a hook over your ear so that it fits around your ear, different types of ear plugs because it fits into the inner canal, so it's an earbud device. But they've done a very nice job with the headset. It's the best headset I've tried so far. It's got noise cancellation built into it, and it's $119. Comes in red, black, and I believe it's like a silver aluminum color.
Apple sells the Bluetooth headsets. They're like $100 as well, aren't they?
Right, and Apple has done. If you look at aesthetics,
I gotta say I don't like Apple's. I have it. I bought it. It was the worst $99 I ever spent.
I love the look. The issue is that if it does not fit in your ear, then it won't fit because they don't have multiple buds. They don't have any hook to go around your ear. So even though maybe it's not as great looking, the Jawbone works. I've used it. I haven't used it on a PC, but I've used it with Skype, with iChat, my Mac, my iPhone. My biggest critique, I said, hey guys, you need a case for people that are throwing this in their case, their briefcase, or their backpack so that you don't crush it. That was my biggest gripe. And last, I want a standard mini USB connector. And they are working on a new one. They wouldn't tell me what or when, but there is a new one, and hopefully it'll be a little bit thinner in thickness. I like it. I use it. I've used about 5 different Bluetooth headsets or more, and this is the one that I like. Look, Apple sells it at their store, so they wouldn't sell it if it didn't work.
Does it have a button on it that you can answer the phone with it?
I believe so. You've got a button to answer and to hang up the call, as well as volume. It's very, very clean. They put a lot of effort into designing it. The packaging is sleek. I think it's worth it.
I've been hearing a lot of good things about Jawbone. A lot of people are saying that's really the headsets to get if you're going to use Bluetooth on the iPhone.
Right, or Bluetooth on your Mac or PC. I mean, for iChat and Skype, it works like a charm. Of course, Bluetooth's limitations is 30 feet, so you can't walk to the next room. But if you're in the car...
Would you leave your iPhone in one room while you walk into another with your Bluetooth headphone?
Exactly. It's meant for mobile devices, really, more than anything. But I tested it out on the Mac, and it's great. So you can check them out at jawbone.com and go to the store and check, look at the different colors. Or go to the Apple store or go Apple online. They're selling it through there. I bet you there are mass merchandise retail shops as well. And then last up is a
– And this is one of my favorite companies, by the way. I really like them.
Last up is the company called Thought Out. So if you go to thoughtout.biz, it'll be up on my Mac site, so you don't have to remember this, guys. It's a iPhone – holder, and Michael is the CEO. Michael makes two different types. He makes the PED 3, that's PED 3, or the Naja King, that's NAJA. I forgot there's a reason behind the name Naja. It means something in a different language. Maybe it means uber cool or uber kick ass, but it is really cool. The Naja King is a flexible stand. It's a gooseneck that wraps around the bottom so that you can turn it any which way. And then at the top, it's a grip that you can clasp around the iPhone. He makes a version for the iPod Touch as well. And it rotates, so you can rotate it horizontally if you were watching a movie or you want to see cover flow for your iTunes. And he's done a beautiful job with this design. It's only $39 or $39.99, so $40. And it's so well done. It's thought out.
Yeah, it is. Do you have the PED 3, Sam?
I have the I did have the PED 3. I gave it to the people at Apple to use. I thought it would be a smart little gift. And I got the Naja King this morning in the mail, and now it's on my desk. And I just think it's so cool. If you go to thoughtout.biz and look at the pictures, he makes two different versions, as I said, the iPhone and the iPod Touch. And it takes very little space. You can form fit it, you know, around anything. He has spent years on developing different stands. The PED stand was his first, and then he came out with the PED 2, the PED 3. All of his different stands fit all iPods, as well as iPods with cases in them. And Michael has just done a stellar job. This is not a lot of money for what you're getting. It's made of metal, for the clasp with rubber grips, so it will not scratch your iPhone. And, the gooseneck is like a standard gooseneck that you see that cars have, you know, goosenecks for their, mounts. Yeah. And, I just love it.
I'm going to have to check that out myself. I did the review back in January of the PED 3 myself, right, and I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. It's just a fantastic product. I was really happy with it. And I put in there full disclosure that I know the owner of the company, and he's a really good guy. It's a very small company, and it's one of those companies that I really want to do well because I think it's just a fantastic product that they make.
It's fantastic, and you know, I've seen his stuff since day one for the last, I don't know how many years, 4 years that he's been making the PED stand. So my hat's off to Thought Out. I'm sure he'll do better and better, and I can't say enough about the it's called the Naja King. So there you have it. We've got the iOmega Drive, portable drive, the Jawbone headset, and then Thought Out's iPhone, iPod Touch cases. Next week, I want you guys to stay tuned to My Mac and Cool Mac Picks because we're going to do a lot of interesting things reporting on the iPhone. So just stay tuned.
Absolutely. Some teasing there because Sam and I have already been talking about that. Sam, I want to thank you for bringing the Cool Mac Picks to MyMac.com podcast, and we'll talk to you next week. And, of course, we want to thank Sam Levin for coming on the show with his Cool Mac Picks. And you're going to hear a lot more of Sam at MyMac.com in the podcast. Sam just he's in with all these companies. He really has the pulse of what's cool and what you're going to want to be spending money on in the future for both your Macs, iPods, iPhone, iPod Touch. Sam really, really does know. Sam kind of defines cool. Hey, Cool Mac Picks, imagine that. Coming up next, we've got, again, John Nemirovsky's Retooled segment, All Over the Mac. I was really looking forward to hearing this for the first time because John and I kind of batted around what maybe the focus of his segment should be. And not only that, what's a good name? And I think it was John that came up with All Over the Mac. So we're going to wrap up the show with John's All Over the Mac. This is a very short show this week after the super long show last week. That's probably a good thing. But again, the reason it's so short, huge computer problems at the last minute, big network problems. I don't have anybody else to talk to here in the podcast studio, so it's kind of strange for me to be doing it alone again. We'd really appreciate any feedback. You could send email to mymacpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you want to pick up a telephone and leave us some audio comments, we'll actually play them on the show. The phone number there is 1-801-938-5559. And don't forget to visit audiblepodcast.com/mymac. Sign up for a free account, get a free ebook, and keep us in business.
We're pleased to inaugurate our new series here at the MyMac.com podcast. It's called All Over the Mac. And our first guest is Sheila Bender of WritingItReal.com. We will provide those links in our show notes. Sheila was the person who gave my wife, whose name is Barbie, her very first personal computer, which was a PowerBook 1400 CS laptop. I understand you've had a couple of computers since then, Sheila. Is that correct?
That is very correct.
What computers are you using at the moment?
Well, I'm using my brand new MacBook Pro.
Terrific. Where'd you get it?
I got it at the Tucson Apple Store because I'm here teaching this month.
And why'd you buy it in Tucson? I understand you live in Port Townsend, Washington.
Well, two reasons, John. I needed it because the laptop that I had brought, my G4, had been misbehaving, and it finally was misbehaving to a greater degree than I was comfortable with. And the tax rate is lower in Arizona than it is in Washington State, so I figured it was a good place to buy it.
So you came here to teach from Port Townsend, Washington, to Tucson, Arizona, and while you were here, you picked up a new MacBook Pro. Do you notice any difference between the MacBook Pro compared to your PowerBook G4?
I do. Now, of course, it looks exactly like my G4 because everything's been dragged over and everything looks like it's set up the same way.
You don't mean the physical computer. You mean your desktop.
I mean my desktop. I mean the way my files look.
Okay. Yeah. So your working experience is the same.
It is, but things are very fast, and I don't think my body has caught up with how fast it is. When I'm scrolling, for instance, it seems like I'm at the bottom in a flash, whether it's my Entourage email spool or in a document. I feel like I've got to get faster to keep up with my fingers here on the computer.
And what about system software? Were you using the Leopard 10.5 system software on your G4 PowerBook?
No, I wasn't.
So are you using it now?
Because that's what it came with.
So what about the adjustment from the Tiger or whatever you were working before to get the adjustment to work with Leopard?
So far, I feel like I'm doing okay. I don't think I've explored all the avenues because I've been busy teaching and haven't been at my computer as much. But in terms of storing files and searching, I'm doing fine. Searching seems easier. That's my first take on it. I just can enter a keyword about something, and it seems like the files, I have a lot of files on my computer, and it seems like the one I want is more clearly visible to me.
And who helped you with the transfer process from your PowerBook G4 to your new MacBook Pro?
Well, I seem to have gotten the computer right at the same time that my computer expert husband was in town visiting.
Okay.
So he managed to do all that for me before his vacation was over.
So he came on vacation from being a computer expert so that he could come help you be a computer expert and help you.
Right. And the one thing he's forgotten to do, he told me I have to take care of myself, is when I went to use my wireless connection, it told me I had a self-assigned...
self-assigned IP address.
IP address. And I thought, why would I have that? And I don't know why I have that, but he said I could get rid of it and then choose a different network to be on.
So he can help you take care of that even though he's not here now?
Well, it just told me to do it, so I haven't done it yet, but I'm assuming I can. But if I can't, I'll be calling you, John. How do I get rid of this self-assigned address? And I don't understand why it wanted to self-assign me an address, but I'll have to research that.
Did you get an educator discount since you're an educator?
I did, and the interesting thing to me is I brought my proof of my affiliation with me, mm-hmm. and I wondered why I did that. I scooped it up with other Tucson papers, and it came in very handy.
But do they also take a blood test, a urine sample, a DNA test to prove that you're an educator?
Nope. They read the letter and they gave me the discount, and I got it also on .Mac, which I am using as backup at the moment, using the iDisk.
Are you new to the .Mac and the iDisk?
Totally.
So what's it like getting used to using that for your backup and your iDisk?
Well, that's going to be a disappointing answer. My computer expert set it up so it happens mysteriously at night when I'm not even watching.
So you don't know nothing.
And I know nothing about nothing, but I'm about to want to learn. I want to use some more features of .Mac, and I'm going to take a tutorial and call you and have you on retainer and have some conference time, because I'm ready not to have it so invisible. I want to see how it's working.
What about the $350 AppleCare insurance protection plan for 3-year coverage? Did you get that also?
Absolutely. I have had that on every single computer.
And do you get an educator discount on that too?
I think so, because the whole package did not cost me more than $2,300, and that was the MacBook Pro.
So you got the $2,000 computer minus the discount,
right.
The .Mac minus the discount, the AppleCare minus the discount, and then you had to pay Arizona sales tax.
Right, and then I'm going to get a $100 rebate on the printer I purchased.
Oh, you got a printer.
I got a printer.
But where's the printer? I mean, a printer, you're here,
right.
And you live someplace else.
Right.
Do you have to travel home carrying this big, heavy printer?
I don't. They agreed to ship it to my house for...
Wow. So you got a $100 printer with a $100 rebate?
I could have done that, but I got the $129 printer, so...
What's the difference? Why did you choose the higher printer?
5-in-1. It's a scanner and fax machine.
Oh,
and
you pay an extra $30 for the fax machine.
Yeah.
But it's probably basically the same printer with the fax capability.
Yeah, but I'm really happy to have that, plus the scanning. I think I'll use both of those.
Now, is this your primary computer, your new MacBook Pro?
It is, and I have to tell you, I went to that Apple store 3 or 4 times before I actually bought this computer, because there's so much great technology, and I was beginning to think I would maybe not have this laptop be my main computer. But in the end, with some expert guidance, not only from my husband, but from my conversations with you, I decided it wasn't time yet to change my habits, which pretty much to work on this laptop at home and away.
So this is going to be it?
This is going to be it, except for my old iMac, which I really like with its arm, and I might share some
files. You've got what's
that.
Called the G3 lampshade iMac, the one with the half of a volleyball as a base, and the big swinging screen that goes up, down, and inside out and backwards.
Right. And I have loved that. I love the adjustability of that.
But that's not going to be your primary computer, even though it's physically larger.
No, because I don't want to compromise the speed. I go back and forth all day long between editing documents and collecting email where the documents are and storing documents and calling them up. And in my imagination, the way I'm going to use that screen is when I'm working on long text, page after page after page books, because I can get it right where it's comfortable for me to spend a long time.
And what's it like as a writer using a Macintosh? Is the Mac compatible with all the writer's things you have to do as an educator and an author, and you run your own website and you do tutorials and conferences and the whole gamut of what writers can do? Is the Mac compatible with that?
For the most part. Here's where things have gone awry this year. When other people got Vista, they started sending me attachments that the Mac told me were films that they could not open. And I don't know why that happened, but I had to ask each of those people to resend and reformat the kind of document they were sending me. And I think it was something that was going on automatically with Vista, that they had to interrupt and make a .doc instead of a .dx.
DocX or something like that.
And as a writer, some of the companies I work for require that I use QuickBooks, and that would... not in the Macintosh version.
QuickBooks for Windows.
Yeah, so that has been difficult. I used to use Virtual PC. It was very slow. And now, however, most of those companies are going to online QuickBooks.
So it's
no longer an issue. I can just input my stuff into an internet site.
That's called cloud computing now.
Is that?
That's the official name for that.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it because the Virtual PC was too slow. And I didn't want to do Windows, so I'm happy with this. And I also use Salesforce software for one of the companies, and that's enterprise software. I access it online. My own particular problem with that is that I use Entourage as my email, mm-hmm. and I cannot sync that up with the Salesforce. Other people who are using Outlook can.
But are you going to start running Windows on your new Intel Mac, so that you can have a straight Windows interface without having to go through all these intermediary hoops?
The answer is yes. the way I'm going to do that is still under consideration. The people at the Apple Store are busy talking about boot camp and partitioning your hard drive. But my computer expert's opinion, having done it on his own new Mac, desktop Mac PC, is that it's not as smooth, it's not working as easily as he thinks it should. It's crashing and other complications. So I think there's another way to do this.
Yes, there are. There are two different softwares. One's called Parallels, the other's called Fusion.
I think Parallels is what I'm going to inquire about.
Okay, so you're yet to get your toe in that water.
Right.
Now, for people who are considering using a MacBook Pro and upgrading their computer for writing or any other purpose, do you have any suggestions, either things you learned at the Apple Store or things you've learned since you've had this now for a couple of weeks? What advice do you have for people who are considering upgrading to a MacBook Pro as their primary computer?
I can't think of any reason not to do it. I'm really, really happy I did it. I thought the price, I've been buying these books for a long time, and the price is really much better for what you get. I was really amazed. Laptop Apple was over $3,500.
That's the one that you gave to Barbie.
Yeah, and that's a while ago now. And so what is in this computer for $2,000 is amazing. The built-in camera, the ability to run Windows, the quickness. I like it. No reason not to. And it took me, you know, my three or four visits to convince myself that I wasn't just leaping for new technology when just because it was fun. I really think it was a good decision.
Good. Okay, well, thank you for joining us on All Over the Mac at the MyMac.com podcast. Sheila Bender of WritingItReal.com.
Thank you, John.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.